Hello and welcome to the Pensions Expert podcast. I'm Angus Peters, Associate Editor. Today we're going to be talking about the Pension Protection Fund, which has recently published its annual accounts. At the time of its inception, some doubted whether the lifeboat for defined benefit schemes would be able to cope with the liabilities thrust on it by large corporate insolvencies. But its latest annual report reveals a surplus of 122%, with a 91% probability of meeting its funding target. It hasn't all been plain sailing, though, with the PPF having to take on a whopping $1.2 billion in scheme deficits last year. With me to discuss the stability and future of the fund is Chief Financial Officer Andy McKinnon. Andy, welcome. The headline figures this year make for pleasing reading in some respects, with that increase in funding level by just over a percentage point. But the probability of being self-sufficient by 2030 has dropped slightly. Why has that happened, and are you at all concerned?
Well, thank you, Angus. I mean, firstly, as you've said, the Pension Protection Fund is in a healthy financial position, and the report and accounts for 17-18 that we've just published do confirm that. The fund is growing. We now have $30 billion of assets under management, and that's an increase of £1.2 billion over just the last year. As you say, since the PPF was set up in 2005, we have taken on 940 schemes, and we've paid out over £3.7 billion in compensation. So I think those figures do support the observation that we have been successful in what we were originally set out to do. And that funding ratio that you quoted, up to 122.8% at March 2018, is an increase from last year. It's a result of good investment performance. And it does come at the end of a year in which we have had, you quoted the figure, $1.2 billion. That is the largest financial value of claims that the PPF has taken on in any year since it was set up. So I think it's very pleasing to be able to report an increasing surplus having taken on that level of claims. As you say, the probability of success, which is our long-term measure in our progress towards our probability of being sufficiently funded and as we've described it, self-sufficient by 2030, is above the target we've set ourselves. So we expect it to be about 86% at the end of the year that's just gone. As you say, the figure is 91%. So whilst that is a small reduction year on year, the things that have caused that change are changes in, for example, the way that we've modelled in insolvency and some improvements in the way that we've projected interest rates. And so, no, that doesn't really cause me any concern at all, because there isn't really anything in there that is kind of driven by a major change in the environment in which we operate. We continue to operate in an environment of risk, but I think it's well within the parameters we expect to be.
Okay. Now, we know that the PPF's funding situation is slightly affected by the volume of liabilities that it has to take on within any given year. DB funding levels are generally improving, but in a mature business cycle, the health of sponsors could deteriorate over the next few years. With that in mind, would you like to see the pensions regulator focus on getting more cash in earlier to DB schemes, perhaps by cracking down on the longer of the recovery plans that we see out there?
Yes, there has been a lot of discussion around recovery plans. And of course, we would always welcome anything that can be done to improve the contributions that are made from scheme sponsors, in particular where we believe sponsoring companies are themselves in a strong enough financial position that that they can afford to do that. We have talked about a proposal to comply or explain, which is the idea that scheme sponsors would be set some kind of level of reasonable recovery period and then be asked to explain, perhaps through their annual report, on whether or not they're able to meet a particular target. I think we've talked quite a lot around 10 years as being a sensible target. I don't think there's anything magical about that. I think I guess the whole point of having a scheme-specific regime, which is what the regulator tries to operate, is to try and recognise that for some schemes there may be reasons why longer periods are acceptable. Equally, in some cases, I think 10 years does feel a long time to recover a deficit, particularly whereas you're dependent on the sponsoring company's ongoing financial strength. Mm. We've seen that about one in five of the schemes in our universe has a recovery plan length longer than 10 years. And in particular, if you looked at the schemes, employers that are in our strongest levy band, so the schemes that we think are most financially strong, or the parent companies that are most financially strong, that figure is about the same. So that doesn't seem to indicate that the most well-funded employers are indeed making the most progress. Equally, if you look to the other end of the spectrum, in our weakest levy bands, around 225 schemes there, that's about 30% have longer recovery plans. And I think that does demonstrate that there is some evidence that, that schemes with weaker sponsors are taking longer. So I think it's right that the regulator takes a view as to what's appropriate for a particular scheme. But we are particularly keen that at the end of the day, those employers who can afford to repair deficits more quickly do so.
Right. OK. The PPF has been involved in a number of restructurings over the year and appears to have taken a fairly tough stance. You might recall the company voluntary arrangement involving Toys R Us. Can we expect to see more of that tough stance? And what should companies know about the PPF's priorities in these situations?
Well, there certainly has been a recent uptick in activity in retailers in particular, citing high property costs. And that's the background to the use of CVAs as a method of restructuring, if you like. CVAs are a form of insolvency. So we would expect them only to be used as a last resort for restructuring struggling companies. And for our part, if there's a pension deficit involved, then we will take on creditor rights for the scheme and we'll vote on the CVA. Now, when we do that, we will always aim to ensure that there is no detriment to the scheme that comes from the CVA proposal. If there's then a subsequent insolvency at some point in the future. I think industry generally is our published principles are well understood. We have recently updated those, so there is a bit more information on our current guidelines available on our website that does give a little bit more information. But really, our role is to make sure that the schemes are protected, and we have seen some instances in the past of, for example, BHS, Austin Reed, Toys R Us might be examples of where there has ultimately been an insolvency following a CVA. Equally, more recently, I think you've heard of Mothercare, Carpet Right, CVAs being approved by creditors, and we're expecting those schemes to be rescued, and that's great. So, in general, we don't oppose CVAs. And in cases where they have been successfully used, they've preserved business value. And if that enables employees of companies to remain in employment and companies to continue trading, and there is no detriment to the scheme, then that's great. And we would fully support that. And Toys R Us is probably a case in point of where, unfortunately, there was ultimately an insolvency after a relatively short period of time. That is terribly sad for all the people who work there. But at least we were able to achieve a better outcome for the pension scheme than if insolvency had ensued at the point of the original CVA.
Absolutely. Now, absorbing large companies' deficits is one thing, but absorbing a commercial defined benefit consolidator could have an even bigger impact on the PPF's funding level. In evidence to the Work and Pensions Committee, your chief executive, Oliver Morley, said he might expect super funds to give some of the guarantees involved in a buyout. Are you able to give any more detail on what you'd like to see, given that the PPF is ultimately on the hook if these consolidators go wrong?
Sure. I mean, firstly, could I say that we do fully see the case for consolidation. What we've seen from the vehicles that have begun to emerge recently, though, they do seem to be targeted at better funded schemes. So if you like, I think well-run consolidation vehicles could certainly help reduce risk to the PPF, although we think what we've seen so far is probably focused more on the schemes that are least likely to come to us. So, as you say, depending on the structure, they could potentially concentrate risk, and it would be a failure of the investment strategy of the fund which causes them to come to the PPF rather than the insolvency of a sponsoring employer. So I think risks are very different. Now, obviously, within the current legislation, if those funds are launched and they comply with the current rules, then that is the way the legislation is set up. And I think we do think there is a strong case for the legislative and regulatory regime to be reviewed in the light of those new structures. I think it's very much the case that the regime that's currently in place was designed for a slightly different world. We've taken steps to adapt to that. We have developed a new levy formula for schemes that don't have substantive sponsors, and that would be applied, for example, in the case of the new British Homes, the BHS scheme. But I think we have a little bit more work to do to continue to adapt and evolve as new types of schemes emerge.
Fantastic. Thank you for that, Andy. That's all we've got time for now. But for more on this topic and many other issues affecting workplace pensions, you can go to our website, and that's pensions-expert.com.